This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Space, a private frontier. With the shuttle program abandoned, non-governmental players and enterprising college students are today's celestial pioneers. Their mission? To seek out cheap ways of launching into orbit, build lunar rovers on shoestring budgets, and boldly go where investors can get in on the bottom floor. Michael Belfiore is author of Rocketeers. His work has also appeared in Popular Mechanics, The New York Times, and Scientific American, where we found one of his latest articles, Bound for the Moon. Michael, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Great to be here.
The latest competition and driver in commercial space exploration that you write about is the Google Lunar X Prize. So what is it? What's it offering and who's behind it?
It's the largest incentive prize in history. It's a total of $30 million offered by Google, administered by the XPRIZE Foundation, and the goal is to foster development of private moon missions. And if you can build your own moon rover, launch it, land it on the moon, drive it around, send back some high-def video, do some Facebook posts, Twitter feeds from the moon, that kind of thing, you can win at least $20 million and more for bonuses, like, you know, imaging Apollo moon landing sites and finding water, stuff like that. It's really exciting.
Who's competing?
So the people I profiled in my Scientific American article in the April issue is a team called Astrobotic, and it's led by a Carnegie Mellon University robotics professor, Red Whitaker, and he's got a team of students from every level, undergrads, PhD candidates, everything in between, and also David Gump, who's a business, you know, guy, space entrepreneur, leading the business case for this, and they're moving along. They're really a very impressive outfit they've put together called Astrobotic. You can read about them at astrobotic.net on their website.
There's also Chinese and Indian national space programs that aren't eligible for the prize, but also trying to send a rover to the moon. So upping the stakes, I guess, for these other teams.
Yeah, for sure. To win, you have to do it with no more than 10% government money. So by definition, any government effort to land on the moon is disqualified. But also on the other side of things, pushing things along is if one of those government teams gets there first, the Russians or the Indians or the Chinese, then the prize purse drops to only $15 million. So it's really a race.
Mm. How much does operating money actually factor into the competition? I mean, do the best funded teams also have the best chance of winning?
There's some, you know, that's part of what we're trying to answer here with this kind of activity. How much money do you need to land on the moon or do other things in space? And can you do it with in-kind donations or a combination of them? And if you just have money and you throw money at that problem, do you have the best chance of winning? That's what we're going to find out. And it's an open question right now.
There are a number of fantastic-looking designs for lunar rovers in the article in Scientific American, one that looks like a spider, another sort of like a centipede. We do have a link to the site, but it is a login-only site. How many teams stand a chance of landing these creations on the moon?
Well, there's around a score of teams, 20 or so teams. I think 26 have entered. Some have dropped out. But there's really only a handful that seem to have a real chance of doing it. Astrobotic is one of them, the team I most focus on in my Scientific American article. But there's also a group called Moon Express out in Mountain View, California. And this is where we're going to see if money can really solve the problem. These people entered the race late. 3 years after the competition started in 2007, they entered in 2010, but they've got lots of money. So some people are thinking, well, maybe they'll just buy their way to the moon. They'll just snap up all the other competitions, whatever stage they're in, and put them together quickly and send them. CMU, Astrobotic, they've been working since day one, 2007, but they're not as well funded. But they've got lots of help from lots of industry people. Alcoa Aluminum is providing them resources, people like this. So, you know, that's what we're going to see. Is it just money? Is it expertise and help from other sources? Is it a combination? That's what we're trying to answer, that's what the Google Lunar X Prize is trying to answer.
Now, all these teams are designing rovers. They're relying on this private space company, SpaceX, for the rocket to transport. Tell us a little bit about this company, SpaceX.
Well, SpaceX is another near and dear to my heart company. These folks came up from a guy in his garage building the largest amateur liquid-fueled rocket engine.
What a story.
I mean, it's a fantastic story. And teaming up with Elon Musk, who had recently sold his stake in PayPal for a lot of money. And they teamed together and they've gone from that rocket engine in a garage to this month. If all goes well, they will be the first private company to dock with the International Space Station.
It's really thrilling, and it must be thrilling for some of the people who are competing. Now, you spoke with some of Red Whitaker's students who are helping him design the Red Rover. What's in it for these kids, or young adults, rather?
I mean, to me, this is, they are kids. I mean, they're young people who are getting excited about space, and you know, to me, this is a real antidote to the kinds of things we were talking about in the last segment, the things that stress us out, you know, all these problems we have in our society. Looking up. People looking up and dreaming of better possibilities for themselves and the world. Huge, huge benefit to that. And by the way, young people who are getting excited about landing something on the moon, they are charged up about science and engineering careers, just the kinds of things that we're worried about losing our competitive edge as the United States in the rest of the world. You know, if more of these kinds of activities happen, whether or not they actually succeed is not beside the point, but it certainly not the only benefit to getting people involved, engaged, looking up, dreaming of a brighter future, and getting involved in science and engineering fields. Tremendous benefits.
Well, and how about the potential money in the future? You're right that the cost of buying and launching a rocket exceeds the top prize 2-1. So Google's Lunar X Prize is only part of the incentive. Could there be very lucrative contracts for these people who help design these rockets, the rovers rather?
That's the hope. And, you know, that's why these teams are going to be spending more money winning the prize. Whoever wins it, they'll probably spend maybe 3 times the prize money winning it. So the hope is, and they hope to convince their investors, that there will be a lucrative business on the other side of that, that people will pay to send payloads to the moon, including people like NASA and other space agencies and all kinds of other businesses as well.
Well, what are some of the big challenges that an engineer faces in designing a lunar rover?
It's manifold. I mean, one is just getting to the moon. You have to navigate autonomously. And Red Whitaker excels at autonomous vehicles. And his team won the DARPA Urban Challenge for autonomous ground vehicles back in 07. But those vehicles relied on GPS to tell them where they're going. There's no GPS between the Earth and the Moon. You know, you're out beyond the GPS satellites. So that's one challenge. Navigation, they're doing it optically by looking at stars and the relative sizes of the Earth and the Moon to help a spacecraft know where it's going. And then landing on the Moon. I mean, Neil Armstrong was, you know, famously had to avoid a boulder field when he was making the first manned lunar lander landing. That was a person making those decisions in a split second, real time, avoid that boulder. This robot has to do that all by itself with no human in the loop. So that's a big challenge. And then once you get there, they hope to survive the lunar night, which is another huge challenge. I mean, you're talking about a temperature differential of hundreds of degrees. The thing has to survive during the day when it's, you know, very, very hot above the boiling point of water. And then in the night when it's very, very cold, well below the freezing point. And, you know, make sure circuits can survive that. That's a big challenge. Other machines that have done that on the moon have relied on radioactive isotopes, which really are the province of governments. You know, some university team is not going to get hold of plutonium, you know, to do this. So they have to solve that challenge. It's a big one.
It's a big one and a big prize. Michael Belfiore, I really want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Michael's writer, author, and speaker on science innovation. There are links to his site and more on the state of commercial space exploration at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, we'll return to Earth with cookbook author Kathy Gunst. She's going to offer some seasonal recipes and maybe even some Mother's Day hosting tips. That's when Word of Mouth continues after a short break.